So in class today, we were talking about, as Kelly mentioned, some of us in our classes, fear and anxiety and faith. Perfect timing, God. Well done. Well done. So we appreciate everyone's love for us, everyone's support for us, everyone's prayers for us. And as I said in the statement earlier, we're not going anywhere. We're going to be right here. We're going to be a functioning part of this church family, and I'm going to continue in a role of ministry, certainly preaching as we go through this process, and another role when the new man comes in, and I will be a great supporter of him. I will be his biggest cheerleader, I promise you, because if he messes up, I'm going to break his legs. Actually, that's not true. We're excited about this process. We're excited and appreciative and so grateful for the elders and their support. As I said, we've been talking about this for a long, long time. This is not something that's new. It's not even 2 years new. And we've been wanting to do this, as we said, in a deliberate and prayerful way. And I believe that that's what we're doing. And I believe it's time. I do. I believe it's time for us, and I believe that it's time for the church. And I think it's going to be a great, great thing for the present and the future of this wonderful church family that we all love so much. Just as God, I think, guided our theme in Bible class this morning, I think he's also had a hand in what I've selected to preach on today. We've been talking about powerful prayers found in the Bible, and we see a lot of that, and we've looked at a lot of great prayers and a lot of very powerful moments of prayer in God's people, Old Testament and New. And over the last few weeks, we've been speaking specifically about the prayers of Jesus. Earlier, we have seen this chapter that we're going to be talking about today, John 17. For 19 verses, John 17 records Jesus praying for himself and for his apostles. As Kelly led us around the table today, Jesus prayed in the garden, and we talked about that prayer, and Jesus prayed specifically that God would glorify his name. Glorify your name, Father. Jesus prays at the beginning of John 17. And what he's praying is specifically in light of what he had prayed in the garden, which was, not my will, but yours be done. And so now as he's realizing this is about to happen, that's what he prays. Glorify your name. And Jesus knows the way that God is about to be glorified, and it's going to be through his death. And so he prays for himself that he would be able to go through that and that God would actually glorify his name in the midst of all of that. In verses 6 through 19 of John 17, he prays for the apostles. He prays for them specifically, and perhaps this is a part of that prayer in Gethsemane, but he prays for them that they will be able to be what he wants them to be. And that means living in the world without being of the world. That means being in the midst of a world that is at times chaos, at times very violent, at times very much opposed to the work and the will and the love and the word of Christ. And yet that is the world that he is putting his apostles out into with this new message of the gospel. And so he prays for them in those first 19 verses. Then the focus of Jesus' prayer turns to us, to you and me. Not just the first century church, not just the church through the ages, but to you and me today. It begins with these words in John 17, verse 20. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Verse 24, Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Verse 25, righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you. and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. Jesus prays for himself as he faces the hardest hours of his life. He prays for his apostles as they will go through what are some of the hardest hours of their life. And then his focus turns to us. So three statements of Jesus, three themes, three areas of focus in this prayer. First of all, Jesus prays for our unity. He prays for our unity. As our shepherd led the prayer, Grant, earlier, and closed that prayer, he closed with this great prayer for our unity. And we're going to talk a lot about that over these next few minutes. But first, these words in John 17, beginning at verse 20. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. Jesus had just talked about his 12 apostles. He had just offered specific prayer for them. And then in this verse, he transitions. And he says, it's not just these men that are my followers right now that I pray for. I pray for all of those who will believe in me through their message. Guess who that includes? It includes us. 2,000 years ago, as he was facing his own death, the ones Jesus had on his mind and in his heart and in his prayers were you and me. I don't pray just for these men that I have come to love so much, but I pray for everyone who will believe in me because of their message, because of their words. My prayer is not for them alone, verse 20. I pray for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. We'll speak more about the last part of that verse, but do you capture the significance of this? Jesus says, Father, you and I are one. And now what I'm praying for is that they will be one with us, just like we are one. The same relationship that the Jesus the Son has with God the Father, he wants for all of us. And it's significant, I think, that this is what Jesus wants. May they be in us, and may you and I share that unity with them that we have with each other. May all of them be one, Father, just as we are one. You are in me, and I am in you. Verse 22, I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. That unity that we share with each other, that unity that we sang about just a few minutes ago, just before the sermon, and all those great passages of Scripture from 1 John 3 and 4, from 1 Corinthians 13 and Matthew 22 and all of those other great passages, other passages like Ephesians 4 that speaks about maintaining the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace, that great love chapter in 1 Corinthians 13, Jesus is praying for that. He's praying for our unity. He's praying for our unity in verses 20 through 23. And it's that call to love one another, to be one with each other, as we are one together with God our Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus prays for our unity. Secondly, today, Jesus prays for our salvation. And that's John 17, verse 24. Jesus prays for our salvation. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. I love the way this is put. Jesus says, Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me, and to know the love that you have given me. This is what Jesus wants. We understand it's what he came for. We understand it's what he died for. But it's what he wants. Peter will tell it this way in 2 Peter chapter 3. God doesn't want anyone to die. He wants everyone to live, to come to repentance. But he wants everyone to live with him. Jesus prays, Father, this is what I want. I want them to be one. I want them to have unity. But I want them to be saved. I want them to be with us. There is a great joy that is there. There is a great message that is there. That Jesus wants us to be with him. In Deuteronomy and Joshua chapter 1, all of those passages, there is that sense of, I will be with you forever. As Jesus shares through the writer of the book of Hebrews in chapter 13, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's what Jesus wants. That's why he came and why he died, so that he could be with us and we could be with him. That's salvation. I want them to be saved, Jesus prays. I want them to be with us. And I've believed for a long time that the greatest thing about heaven is the worst thing about hell. Oh, I have a lot of questions about heaven and hell, so don't hit me with those during the lunchtime, because I'll just have this really dumb look on my face and shake my head and say, I don't know. But I do know this. The greatest thing about heaven is the worst thing about hell. You see, the greatest thing about heaven is that Jesus will be there. And the worst thing about hell is that Jesus will not be there. Jesus prays for our unity. He prays for our salvation. And then thirdly, Jesus prays for our witness. Verses 25 and 26 of John 17. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you. And they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. Jesus says that they know me. They know my love, but the rest of the world doesn't. How will they know those things? How will they get that message? The world doesn't get it, but the church does. And so our calling is to somehow take that message of that love and that salvation and that unity and that blessing and that eternal life to the world. Through our lives, through our faith, through our peace, so that they will know and they will see. And the world will know. This is what Jesus said earlier in verses 21 and verse 23. Let them be one. Let them be unified. Let them have a common message. Not all agree on everything. No, the scriptures are very clear that that's never been the intention. But to be one, to have that unity that Grant prayed for, to have that unity that we celebrated around this table, to have that unity that we have sung about today, that's based on our love for God, our love for each other, and especially based on God's love for us. Jesus prays for our witness. He prays that people will see our lives and see our unity and know this is my people. These are my disciples. That's what Jesus prays about. That's what Jesus wants for us. In Acts chapters 3 and 4, as we saw in a prayer earlier in this series, the disciples were being persecuted and threatened for the first time. And when they were released from those Jewish leaders, Peter and John, and they went back to the church and they all gathered together and they all prayed, They prayed that God would give them boldness and that God would help their witness. But the thing that the Jewish leaders recognized, they took note that these men had been with Jesus. And as we are in our community, and as we are in our families, and as we are in our jobs, and as we are in our schools, and as we are in our circles, do they know by our actions and our lives that we are with Jesus? That is our witness. Jesus tells us, go into all the world and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you, love, salvation, unity, all of these things. And I am with you always to the very end of the age. That's the promise of Jesus. He will be with us forever as long as this world lasts, and He will be with us forever after that. Because that's what He wants. I want them to be with me. I want them to be with us. I want them to know the love and the oneness that you and I both share. That was His prayer to the Father. Jesus prays for our unity. He prays for our salvation. And He prays for our witness, that the world will know that He has sent us. That the world, even though it doesn't know Him now, will know Him because of our lives and because of our words. As we close this morning, it's with this thought from Psalm 133, verse 1. Simply put, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. That was true in the days of the psalmist, and that is true today. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live in unity. And unity is not uniformity. Unity does not mean there are no differences. Unity does not mean that there aren't some, occasional discussions. That's the greatness about the church. That's the greatness about unity in diversity. Because we're better and we're stronger. Because in spite of all those things, and in some ways because of all those things, we are one. We are one. Jesus prayed that we would be one. We get to live that out. That's what He died for. That we would be one with each other just as He is one with the Father, and that we would be one with them. It's always good for us today to pray for these same things, to pray for our unity, to pray for our salvation, and to pray for our witness. In the months ahead, it is especially important. As we look for two men to come and join us and lead us in our work together for the Lord here at West Irwin, we pray these same three things daily, constantly. We pray for our unity. We pray for our salvation. And we pray for our witness. Pray for these things today and every day. And pray with faith. Pray with trust in the One who has promised to be there for us, who has done everything He can to enable us to be with Him for eternity. That's what He wants. That's why He died. Pray for our unity. Pray for our salvation. Pray for our witness. And trust in that faithful love. That faithful love that can be found only above, in the very throne room of God, in the place where God the Father reigns and Jesus the Savior is at His right hand. It can only be found in our hearts in the person of the Holy Spirit. Pray and know and trust. One of the verses we talked about in our class this morning, be still and know that I am God. That's the promise of His faithful love. This morning, if you need help and encouragement in your life of faith today, come as we stand and sing this wonderful song together.